Good morning. Let's begin today's devotional. We're on page 100 for anyone following the journey book. The verses are Luke chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. Meanwhile, when the crowd gathered by the thousands so that they trampled on one another, he began to speak first to his disciples. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, that is, their hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed from the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that can do nothing more. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. But even the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man, also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When they bring you before the synagogues, the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how you are to defend yourselves or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what you ought to say. And the devotion reads this. What did the huge crowds flocking to be with Jesus think they were doing? Faced with such apparent success, Jesus turns his focus to his closest followers, his disciples. If this inner circle of followers are not clear on what it means to be a disciple, there is no hope for the crowds. Jesus lays down the challenge of integrity. Everything that we may well prefer hidden will be revealed one day, so integrity is the only logical option. Jesus lays down the challenge of fearless devotion to him in the face of opposition and persecution. It is when, not if, his disciples are hauled before the authorities. Jesus lays down the challenge of accepting the testimony of the Spirit. If we set our hearts and minds against the Spirit, the one who brings us to Jesus, then we should not be surprised that we end up far away from Jesus and unforgiven in our hard-hearted rebellion. Let us pray. Father, good morning. We welcome you this morning. We just submit ourselves to you, to your teaching. Father, we just ask that you would help us along, Lord, to understanding you and your word and your heart, Father, for us this morning. We thank you, Lord. We just ask that you be with us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I'm just going to share some of the feelings that I had when I went through this passage. This particular passage can be cross-referenced my notes are like everywhere. Well, trust me on this. It can be cross-referenced somewhere in Matthew. I'll find it in a moment. But I think that the... Oh, here we go. So it can be cross-referenced to Matthew chapter 10. And the context is a little different in chapter 10 because Jesus is speaking against the Pharisees who accused him of calling upon Beelzebub. It's slightly different, but Luke chapter 12, it's actually out of that context, so we can see this in a more, isolated light. But definitely, like the devotion points out, I feel that the first thing that it does point out is about, integrity and the importance of it and how we ought not to be hypocritical, because that is the one thing that I think Jesus makes very clearly, one of the things that he really despises. But aside from the important need for character and integrity, as pointed out where he says that there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light. What you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. In Matthew 10:27, which is the corresponding verse, it says, "What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops." It's similar, but I think the nuance is a little different. And actually, when I first read Luke 12, the only thing I got was not just about integrity, but I felt like it's also something that proves that God is really a God of justice. I really feel that sometimes we don't really feel that God is going to we don't trust in God for vindication because we don't really know what God is doing behind the scenes, and we don't really know if He's willing to bring to the surface all the things that we have suffered in the past. So all the wrongs that we have gone through, all the things that people said to us behind locked doors and things like this, there are many things that we may hold secret and darkly in our heart that we wish we could bring to justice. But I really feel that this particular chapter really brings to light that God is a God of justice. He really is willing to bring to light all the things in the dark, especially all the injustices in the world. Whenever that may happen, I feel that God will bring it all to its right time. And I think that for me, these verses bring me comfort, actually. And I think that it's not just about us to feel like it's a warning about our own character and integrity, although if you feel convicted, that's a good thing too. But I think that it's also about giving us another reason to trust in God for anything that we feel wronged for in the past. I also feel that that covers mainly the first part of this passage, but I think the next part of the passage about it covers fear. I feel like just fear in general. But I feel like this particular passage really covers our fear of the Lord more so than anything. And if you go to the corresponding verse again in Matthew 10:28, it says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And the verse in Luke is, "I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." I feel that in some ways, it sounds almost like a warning, but it is a warning. But at the same time, I think it's also Jesus makes it very clear that he says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but I will tell you whom to fear. Fear him who has the authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." And then he says, "But do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows." Like, Jesus is the fear that he talks about here. If you look at the meaning of it, it does mean to just be extremely frightened of, to tremble in fear of. But the if you look at corresponding verses in the Bible, cross-referenced verses in the Bible, the fear that he speaks of is also for example, in 2 Corinthians 5:11. "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences." The fear here is actually the fear of God, which means a very deep and reverential sense of accountability to God. And I think what Jesus is really pointing out is not just about fearing the awesomeness of God, which is obvious in itself, but he's talking about how we ought to fear the fact that we are all accountable to God, and God doesn't let anything go. It's relevant to what he said about things being said in darkness that will come to light. There's not a single thing that escapes from God's eyes, and he intends to make us accountable for every action, and that is the thing that we ought to fear and revere as well, because we know that God is a God of justice. And in Hebrews 10:31, it says, "It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And I think the point is that he is a living God, that he is alive today, and that it's not just like words in a Bible, but everything that we do now, we ought to think of as being, you know, we ought to remember that God is with us and watching us in every moment. And we need to submit everything to God, I think, every moment of the day, not just like once a week. And Jesus does tell us, you know, "But do not be afraid. And, you know, all the hairs on your head are numbered. You know, you are more valuable than many sparrows." I mean, it's not just about being afraid, but also remembering that God holds us accountable because he cares for us, that he sees us, you know, as such, he paid an incredible price for us because that's how worthy he finds us. And so we ought to respond to that and not just feel like, don't never take it for granted, but understand that we are all bought at an incredible price. And that God who paid that price cares very deeply about even the small things we do. The last part of this passage covers the Holy Spirit. I feel that it's it points out the importance of the Holy Spirit, and more than that, it even highlights a very deep truth about the function of the Holy Spirit. To reread those verses, it says, to go from verse 10, it says, "Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him." I feel like when I first read this passage a long time ago, I was very confused because I felt like I wasn't sure what it meant by that, because I thought, then does that mean if you say a word against Jesus, Jesus forgives you? And if you say a word against the Holy Spirit doesn't forgive you? Like, it seems kind of odd. And then, and if you think about it, what my thinking back then was totally wrong, because Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father are a Trinity, and they may have slightly different functions, but they are all the same God, and they all share the same characteristics. So, I heard in a worship conference someone gave this illustration, and I thought it was quite apt. So if you think of rock, paper, scissors, right, with this, you make the signs with your hand, right, and when you play the game, they all have different functions, but ultimately it's the same hand. They just have, it just looks different slightly. But so, that's kind of like the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father. I thought that was, it helps me a bit to understand what exactly that the Trinity means. I think, first of all, I feel like what this passage really highlights is the fact that the love of God is unconditional, but forgiveness is conditional. And what forgiveness is conditional on, I feel, is our repentance. And it's easy, like, anyone can believe in Jesus, right? But just because you believe in Jesus or you have the knowledge of Jesus doesn't mean that you are saved, actually. Because even if you look in other verses, even in James 2:1, James 2:19, testing. His knowledge alone is not enough, because even the demons believe and shudder. So believing in Jesus is actually not enough. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is there because the Holy Spirit is there to convict us of our sins and to lead us into repentance. And in John 16:8, it says, "And he," which is referring to the Holy Spirit, "when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." So when Jesus says that, you know, if you blaspheme against me, it's okay, but you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it's not okay. He's not saying, like, those are not, like, two totally separate things. It's about how Jesus, if you accept Jesus as your Lord, then you are accepting the Holy Spirit into your life to convict you of your sin, to lead you to repentance, to renounce you of your old ways, and to lead you to the new with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's function is it's integral in this, and it's like, it's interrelated as well. But you cannot accept one and deny the other and accept and expect to be saved, right? So so in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regret, but worldly grief produces death." So I think that it just highlights the absolute importance of the Holy Spirit to lead us to that godly grief that produces that repentance that leads to salvation. And I feel like, Jesus is also pointing out that when we have willful sin, when we are unwilling to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of a specific sin or sinfulness in general, and that results in an inability to accept Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, and that results in an inability for Jesus to remove our sins, because we are unwilling to repent of them. So I feel like when Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit in this passage, it's not just about, you know, saying like, oh, don't blaspheme, it's a bad thing to blaspheme. He's pointing out the absolute importance of the Holy Spirit and especially its role in bringing us to Jesus and bringing us to closer to salvation. I mean, what am I saying? It is about leading us to salvation. And in the last few verses, Jesus points out, you know, don't worry about what you ought to say before rulers, before synagogues and authorities and things, because the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And again, he points out that the Holy Spirit is our helper. And he is just absolutely, important in bringing us to God and also in leading us in wisdom. And without the guidance of the Holy Spirit to lead us to repentance, to lead us to know what to say in times of trial, I feel like we are helpless. So we really, I think for me, I reflect on this passage and I just realize how important it is for me to rely on the Holy Spirit in all things and how important it is when leading others to Christ as well. So if maybe we could have the worship person come and lead worship. So maybe we could just spend this morning to just kind of meditate on this passage and just think about first that, you know, whatever speaks to you the most, whether it's about integrity or whether it's about trusting God to for vindication of any of the wrongs we feel we've suffered, whether it's about, doubting how much God values us, because God values us a lot, and so much so that, you know, he doesn't let anything go, and we ought to respond to that. So whether you want to meditate on that, and also just meditating on the Holy Spirit and how he wants to lead us to grieve, a godly grief, and not one that doesn't lead nowhere and ends in guilt and condemnation, but one that really leads to understanding the kindness of God and his love for us, one that leads us to want to respond wholly to Jesus' sacrifice for us. And so while we're just meditating on that and praying on that, let's worship God.
How wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory, His face I at last shall see. My joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Let's pray for the pastor who wrote the devotion for today. Dale Hansen, he is a senior associate minister of St. Andrew's Kowloon. He's married to Pat. He has two children in the UK. So let's pray for Dale, and let's pray for his ministry in Kowloon, and let's pray that his church, continues to grow in the Spirit. And let's just ask God to really protect him and his family, and that He would continue to bless him. Begin our prayer focus for today. Let's pray for those who are sick, especially with those with cancer. Let's just pray for God to really, let's just really pray for today's devotion. Reminds us that we are not to fear that those that can destroy the body, but that those that can destroy the soul. So let's just remember that. That even if our bodies perish, that God is with us. But even so, God wishes to heal. And I think that let's just pray with assurance that there would be no fear, even if, but knowing that God loves us. So that's why we can pray for healing. Thank you. Let's pray for those who are sick and also in need of salvation. Let's just really pray that families would be brought together in these times of trial, and let's just ask that God's peace would just be with them. And let's just ask for God to really use this time to reach out to them and to open up their hearts to them, to Jesus. Let's pray for those who are looking for jobs or not. Let's continue to pray for those with infirmities. Let's just ask God to really bring His healing hand upon them. And let's just ask that, more so than that, that trust in God would continue to build during this time, that they would really trust that God is willing and that God is with them. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, let's pray for those who are looking for jobs now. Let's pray for God to really lead them during this time. I really believe that God is going to take all those names off this list by the end of the year, or even way before that. So let's just pray in faith that God moves in their lives, that He brings direction and just incredible. That He just moves incredibly in their life, that they know it's Him, and that they would be able to follow His leading clearly, that there would be no vagueness, and that He would just speak clearly and directly into their lives. Thank you. let's go for today's focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace Chung and Ashley in Bloom, for Pastor Robert Oh, for his ministry Vision to Reality, and for Pastor Tai at New Life Church. Let's just really pray that God continues to really work through them to bring His kingdom into Cambodia, and that all who are ministered to really feel the presence of God and the love of God in that place. And let's pray for strength for those who are ministering there. Let's pray for the board. Let's pray for Pastor Sam, for Lisa, for Hyde, for Janie, for Tom, for Kiwan, for Brian and Mon, the secretary. And let's just pray that, let's just pray for God to continue to speak to each and every one of them, for His protection to continue to cover them, and for His word to just be spoken clearly to them, that they would be unified. And let's just pray that during this time that God really shows them His heart and His love, and as the pastoral staff is led to understand the love of God more, that they would be able to really not just feel the love of God, but be able to translate it to others as well. Let's pray for the men and women's ministries, for Sandra and Bonnie who lead. Let's just pray that those ministries continue to really grow this year, that each ministry would just really find its place and grow stronger, and that that God would really use those ministries to bring His vision to both men and women. Let's pray for SP 2.0's new building and the donor. Let's just pray that God really continues to speak of His vision to us, that the church would be unified in the same vision, that we would all see and understand what it is that God desires for our church. Let's also pray that whatever needs to happen to make it happen, that, yeah, let's just pray for those things to happen speedily, and for God's timing and His word to just come through, and that let's just all pray for all of us to just be on the alert, to be sensitive to any promptings of the Holy Spirit to lead us to that place. Thank you. And let's pray for the house churches that are happening tonight for Causeway Bay, Island, Shawton, Kennedy, Robinson West, Happy Valley, and Mac Robinson. Let's just pray that, that the love of God is really encountered in each house church tonight, that every person who attends house church tonight just is blessed abundantly by the presence and the love of God. And let's pray for the leaders that they would be pliable for God to lead them, that they would be prepared not by their own ability, but just purely by God. And let's just ask that everyone has a blessed evening tonight. We thank you for today, for this morning. We just ask that you continue to lead us and guide us, Lord, today and throughout the week. God, we just want to know about you more. God, we come to you just asking for just more intimacy with you, just more and more. We just want to draw close to you and to understand your heart for us. No matter how it may break us, Lord, we just know that without you, Lord, there's nothing we can do. So, Father, we rely on you today, and we just ask that you bring us through and that you just continue to assure us, Lord, of your presence, God, in our lives. Lord, we just ask that you strengthen us who are weary and that you continue to speak to us, Father, individually, Lord, and also corporately as a church, God, of what it means for you to love us. We respond to that and we love you so much, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Have a good morning.